It didn't happen just because Mary and Joseph had relations. Because they didn't. I would have thought you would have grabbed that one. No, they didn't. But the Holy Spirit came. Just like when you got born. The Holy Spirit came. Come on. And produced in you something that no man or woman could produce. It was by the Spirit. Our brother Everett, by the Spirit.
Amen.
Not by man. Yes, God uses man to speak. God uses man to share the good news. But it's by the Spirit that any man, woman, or child gets saved. Amen? So his work was at work here this morning.
Amen.
So the fullness of time means literally at a decisive moment. It said in Esther, if you remember the story of Esther with Mordecai, it said Mordecai said to Esther, how do you know for such a time as this that you're not brought into the kingdom? And I say to you this morning, know this. It's for such a time as this that you were brought into the kingdom.
Amen.
It's time to stop waiting for what to do and start doing what God intended you to do. To live your life in a way that will bring glory to God and be a blessing to you and to others. That's what this is all about. And these last days, whatever last days we have left, I don't know how many days I have left, but I want my life, when I leave this earth, if nobody else remembers me, if nobody else speaks good of me, if nobody else does anything, when I stand for the Master, he says, well done.
Amen.
Good and faithful servant.
Amen.
Because all the gold and all the silver and all the junk of this world you can have. But as the scriptures say, what profit a man if he gained the whole world and loses his soul? What good is all those things out there if inside here is dead? God wants to bring life where there's death. In Ecclesiastes 3, we looked at that and it said that there's a time and a season for everything. And we have to understand, there is a time where our life ends here on earth and begins up there in heaven. Do not be afraid. It's a fact. And when we come to that conclusion and we understand that our life is in the hands of an almighty God who loves us and there's a purpose for our time here and there's a purpose for our leaving here. We may not comprehend it all, but it is what it is. Now look into Psalms 139. Go into Psalms 139 with you. I want to show you something. Hallelujah. I'm going to read most of it, but there's one place I'm really going to focus on. Oop, I'm in the wrong one. No wonder it didn't look familiar. O Lord, you have searched me and known me, verse 1, and know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. God's acquainted with all our ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. Whatever you speak, he already knows it. He hears it. Listen to this. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Oh, thank you, Lord. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me, indeed the darkness shall not hide me from you. But the night shines as the day, the darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you form my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you. In other words, God knows exactly what you were going to look like before you were conceived in the womb. That's an amazing fact. Do you understand that? Don't complain by what you look like. Don't complain about what you're not. God created you specifically at the way you are created.
Amen.
We're always trying to change, the whole world trying to change the way they look. They go to doctors and get surgery. They diet, they dress, they put new makeup on. Everything to change the way I look because I don't like the way I look. God created you that way. Well, why didn't he create me prettier? Why didn't he create me thinner? Why didn't he create me taller? Why didn't he create me shorter? It doesn't matter what you are on the outward. It makes difference only what's on the inward. God created you specifically because someone who's overweight can minister to someone else who's overweight easier than someone who's thin. Because they always have this attitude, well, you're thin, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to struggle with weight. Look at you, you're fine. You understand, God has purpose for everything. Let me finish. Listen to this. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. He saw your substance, in other words, who you were before you were even formed. And in your book, they were all written. What was all written in your book? The days fashioned for me. Before you were formed, God had already written in a book your days that were fashioned. In other words, what your days were going to be like. Amen. Now remember what I said to you at the beginning of this. There are two paths to take. God's way, man's way. Man's way is wide, easy. God's way is narrow. We have to understand that. There's no two ways. You can't add and subtract from the way of God. When God formed you, before you were even conceived in the womb, God had already looked upon you, saw what he wanted, and already prepared and written it in a book, and said, this is what he's going to be doing, this is what she's going to be doing. Look what he says. And in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. Whew. You know, that's a good thing. Holy cow. You mean God already ordained my days before I was born?
Amen.
That's awesome. Now remember again. Yeah, but we look at this person and they're miserable and they look at that person. Well, they were supposed to be. Wait a minute. Don't look at other people. Look what God said.
Amen.
If God said it, you can trust that it's true. God is not going to allow you to not know that his hand is upon you. You understand that? When I read this and I started seeing this stuff, I started, praise God. Praise God. You know why? He took me over to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. If I am following the path that he instructed for me to follow, and he followed the path that he set out for me, I'll never want for anything.
Amen. Amen.
But when I go my own way, then we have to make the decision that those things that we desire, whether it be of this world or of the kingdom of God or whatever, whatever it is, if we go our own way, then you're going to have to do the best you can to get them. When God has already prepared them ahead of time for you. He already wrote in your book everything you need for a good and godly life. It's already written there.
Amen.
You understand that? There's a book written with your life in it before you were born already. What's that mean? That means I got to learn to trust God.
Amen.
That means if I have a need and I don't see the need met yet, then I need to go to the Father who already put down in the book what my need would be met and how it would be met. And I have to get into what? Prayer. I have to spend time with the one who already made the choice for me for a good and godly life. And if I'm not sure what to do, what do? I've got to get into prayer and I've got to meditate on the Lord and I've got to say, okay, Lord, I need wisdom in this area of my life. If any lack wisdom, what is wisdom? Doing things God's way. God said, God, you already made that choice for me. Thank you. That would bring joy to me. That would bring trust to me. God will then instruct you on how to turn, what to not to do, what to do. He may tell you to give, he may tell you to wait. He may tell you to go, he may tell you to stay. You don't know. I told you a while ago, I was praying about Diane and I. We're looking, thinking where I drive an older car. Diane drives a much newer car. So we were talking about, well, if this car breaks down and that one gets broke down or whatever, we got to buy two cars. We want to do that. Maybe we should buy a car. So I said to the Lord, what do you want me to do? One word, wait. That's all it came, wait. So I'm waiting. And I'm learning to wait patiently. Because through faith and patience. Well, how do you know it was God who told you? Because I didn't want to wait. I had my own idea what I wanted to do. I had my own idea what was right in my own eyes. Well, listen to me. You can find something in the Bible and still be wrong. Because if you use it in the wrong attitude with the wrong spirit, it can become a hammer and destroy things rather than build up. Because if it's not motivated by love, encapsulated with faith, you can believe all you can want. You say, that's what it says. I believe it, really. So God says to you, why? And this is what I would say. If I'm not seeing what I'm asking for, if God says he is my shepherd and he will lead me beside still waters, bring me into green fields, then I want to know why I'm not seeing my answer. Then we need to go ask God rather than leaning on the understanding of someone else. There are things in our lives that God wants to reveal to us that is hindering our prayers, hindering our desires. And when man looks at it, we say, well, it must be this because the Bible says that. It must be this. God says, no, because there's a hidden thing that needs to be revealed to deal with. And only that can come by the Spirit. It cannot come by the understanding of man in the way we think. Hallelujah. So God said, all right, I knew you before you were formed. I knew your substance before you were formed. And I've already written out the plan for your life. I got all that together. Go into Psalms 138, right next to that. I'm going to read this out of a different translation. This is the Living Bible translation. The Lord will work out his plans for my life, for your loving kindness, Lord, continues forever. Don't abandon me, for you made me. I have come to understand that no matter how hard I try, it's God working in me to will to do those things that please him. It's God's plan. What's it say here? The Lord will work out his plans for my life. That's an assurance. That gives me confidence that God is making a plan, has a plan for my life, and he's working it out. Now, I don't jump ahead. I don't run behind. I wait on the Lord. I wait patiently, in faith. Knowing that God is working something out here, I don't quite comprehend it, I don't quite understand it. So I spend time in prayer and I say, Lord, what do you got for me? Show me. Show me. I want to know. Is there anything that's stopping the fullness of what you desire for my life to come to pass? And I believe what the Lord will tell you. Yes, there is, and I will remove it. The Tree of Life translation said, Adonai will fulfill his purpose for me. Your loving kindness, Adonai, endures forever. Do not abandon the work of your hands. Your life, not just your body, your life is a work of God's hands. Jesus said, I came to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. God did not create this world for the devil. He created this world for us. You understand that? Just because the devil has certain controls into the non-believer's life and to those who have given their life to Christ and understand that their life is now hid in Christ, and as they allow God to work out his will in their lives, that the fullness of the blessings of God will overwhelm them to the point that he'll do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or hope for. So God is trying to get us to understand something as we go forward here. You're going to see some things come to pass. You're going to see some things not come to pass. You're going to look at some people and say, wow, look how blessed they are. And you're going to look at the other ones and say, why aren't they? God is working something out. Sometimes we jump ahead of people. We try to help people when God is trying to say, I'm trying to work something out. Let it go. So that's why you got to be in prayer. You got to be sure. Because in the fullness of time, this is what we've got here. This is where we're at. This is us. This is our time.
Amen.
And I told you before, when this day ends, it's done. It's finished. You can't go back and say, gee, I wish I could have. I should have. How come it doesn't? The next day, we can go from here to there. He said, blessed, in Ephesians 1:3, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Messiah. He chose us in the Messiah before the foundation of the world. Glory to God. To be holy and blameless before him in love. Be predestined us for adoption as son through Messiah Yeshua in keeping with the good pleasure of his will. To the glorious praise of his grace and with which he favored us to the one he loves. So we see now, Lord God, we thank you that you're finishing something you've begun in us. And so the Lord, as I was meditating this morning, I had no intention of going the way I went with this message and the way I'm going, because I wasn't thinking on that vein. And then God started showing me, and I said, because God, you, when Jesus walked the earth, he spoke in parables. That only the believer could understand it. Not the non-believer. So God started showing me, as I sat in the living room meditating on it, he started showing me the Christmas tree in our living room. And this symbol of Christmas celebration, he said, it's a symbol that if you comprehend it, it changes the meaning of what it is all about. He said the first thing that happens in a home, a Christmas tree, the people, now it's changed a lot over the years, unfortunately, in some cases. It used to be, and I remember when we were younger, and we did it even while we were married. The first thing you used to do with a Christmas tree is you'd have to go out and choose the right one. You had to choose the right one. He said, a lot of them now are artificial, just like a lot of the church. It's artificial. But he said, what happens is you go out and choose the perfect one for your house. The Bible tells us God chose you.
Amen.
The perfect one for his purpose.
Hallelujah.
You understand?
Hallelujah.
It just didn't happen. See, until you grasp that fact, you become, what happens is when you start grasping the fact of what I'm saying, this world becomes darkness in the light of him. No longer are you moved by what other people do or say. You're not confused anymore. You start to walk with an upright attitude that you're no longer under the burden of life. Life now becomes what it was meant to be, a glorious presence of God in your life. He said the first thing that happens, you go out and you choose the perfect tree for your purpose. And God says, I chose you, the perfect one, for my purpose. Now you may not know that. You may not know that, but it's true. Amen. You may not think that, but it's true. You may not feel that, but it's true. You may say, well, I've been saved for this many years and nothing's changed for me and nothing's happened for me. It doesn't mean God isn't done yet. Your purpose could be fulfilled at the last seconds and the last breath that you do. You don't know. But I promise you this. God never lets one of his disciples leave this earth without fulfilling purpose. Paul said, I've run the race. What's going on? I'm cutting in and out. Hallelujah. Okay. The first thing we need to know, John 15:16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. So you know that you're chosen. If you're chosen, that means you can go to your heavenly Father and ask him for your needs to be met. Knowing that if you ask,
amen.
Knowing it, not questioning maybe. Hopefully, no. I know that for a fact. I know that for a fact. The second thing he said to me, he said the tree represents life. When it comes into the house, it's green. It's alive. But it's slowly dying. The Bible tells us, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 4, therefore we do not become discouraged, utterly spiritless, exhausted and wearied out through fear. Though our outward man is progressively decaying and wasting away, yet our inner self is being progressively renewed day by day. Yes, the outward is dying, but the inward is growing and alive. It's maturing. It's becoming more and more like Christ. And as the inward starts doing it, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead will quicken these mortal bodies. And these bodies will live and function as what they were meant to be, as homes for us. Homes for us. This body is not who you are. That's just what is used to house you. When you get into the car and you drive, you are not the car. Amen? When you go home and get your house, you're not the house. You live in the house. You're in the car to provide you to get around. It's all the And it is slowly but surely decaying. And it will die if the Lord should tarry. It will end. But it will always, always, always comes a time of renewal. So the tree, he said, is a picture of life. But know this, the moment that you have it and bring it into the house, it's already dying. So don't be surprised when a body dies. My thoughts have always been, the older I get, the more of these so-called, well, Lord forgive me, I changed that. The more of these stars, movie stars and everybody, all these people are dying. The older I get, the more I watch all these people I grew up seeing on TV and movies and so on. They're all dying. My thought isn't, oh, that's too bad, they're dead. My thought is, where are they now? Because the body's going to die. Don't let it discourage you. Don't let it just, you know, hey, that's life. I don't know what God's already planned my life. I know he knows the beginning to the end. I know the day I was born, he knew, and the day I die, he already knows. But I've got a time in between that I'm going to do what God has instructed me to do and called me to do. Hallelujah. I'm getting cut off. Glory to God. So, first of all, we see the tree is chosen. We see it signifies life. The next thing we look at, and this happened, well, let me put it this way. Let me finish this first. We hang ornaments on the tree, which enhances the beauty of the tree. The ornaments on the tree represent the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit brings a beauty that the tree doesn't have before. You can be dressed up. You can drive a big car. You can have a beautiful home. You can talk all Christianese you want, and you talk about Jesus all you want, but without the fruit, you're still nothing. Clanging cymbal, the Bible calls it. Just noise. The love, the joy, the peace, the kindness, the gentleness, the self-control, all of these are the fruit of the Spirit. All of these are what makes the tree worth having. So God made sure that when he started with you, that he started with the fruit first before anything else. Because the first thing he did when you got born again was to pour out his love into your heart. The first fruit of the Spirit he talks about is love. Without love, nothing else. Without love, you have nothing. And it's not love what you call love, it's what God calls love. And like I always told you, the one that hangs up on me and always causes me to stumble. Love sees no evil. When you start judging others, remember, you shall be judged. With the same judgment you mete out shall come back to you. So when you start condemning someone else who has been chosen by God, anointed by God, filled with the Spirit of God, remember, all you're doing is causing harm to yourself. God will come back at you. Not because he wants to, because that thing will just come back and bite you. Every time. So we make sure that, Lord, I got to make sure. I'll be like that tree. Everything that hangs from this is going to be the fruit of the Spirit. I'm not going to let anything else. No anger, no frustrations, all that other stuff. But let it go. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Revelation that there's trees along the river of life in heaven. And it says that the trees have 12 different fruits on them. And that fruit is for the healing of the nations. Here's what it is. When you operate in the fruit of the Spirit, you bring healing to others. Because they come and eat from the tree. Hallelujah. The Bible says in John 15:8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. By this my Father is glorified. It's the fruit of the Spirit operating in your life that brings glory to our Heavenly Father here on earth. It's not all the works, not all the knowledge we gain, it's not all the stuff that we think. It's just the operation of the fruit of the Spirit, so it brings life to others. And that's really what God has intended for us. Now, the next part of this was, really, we were sitting in our living room one day, and Diane looked at me, and we were looking at the tree that we have in our living room, and it was daytime, the lights weren't on. And she looked at it, and she said, our tree doesn't look very pretty this year. And I said, and I looked at her, and I believe it was the Spirit of God who said this. I said to her, I understand that, but when you look at it, until the light comes on, there's no real beauty. Hallelujah. When the light is there, it changes everything else. Even the fruit is enhanced by the light. Ephesians 5:8 says, for you were once darkness, But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. We're not in darkness anymore. The Bible says if you hate your brother, you're in darkness. If in any way you have aught against anyone, if you have anything, I don't care who it is or what it is, what's going on. Ask God to remove any obstacle. Because if you judge, if you condemn, if you speak ill of, if you just destroy with your mouth, the Bible says in Proverbs that God hates those who bring division. You don't want that to happen. You don't want that to happen. You've got to let the light shine. You've got to let the light shine. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in the hearts so as to beam forth the light for the illumination of the knowledge of the majesty and glory of God, as it is manifest in the person and is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. I wrote, the true light is the presence of the Holy Spirit. As we walk in the Spirit, the light of Jesus Christ fills us and covers us. The unconditional love of God is what causes the light to be turned on. The forgiveness brings light to once burned out bulbs. And peace brings unity and greater brightness. What good is a tree without light? It's just another thing sitting in the corner. What good is a church without the light? What is the human being without the light? Nothing. Empty. Dark. Full of nothing. It doesn't matter what they do for people. It doesn't matter what things out there we think and talk about and all this. None of that matters. Because if the light isn't there, it's very aware. When there's a light, the light in comes out of the eyes. There's a twinkle in the eyes. You see the joy that comes out of the eyes. You see the merriment that comes out of the eyes. Now all of a sudden, life becomes exactly what God intended it to be. You're a carrier of the light, of the very presence of God. For God is light. And we can make all the excuses we want. Well, you know, I got this going on and I got that going on. Paul said he delivered me out of that all. Paul's sole purpose in life was to bring the light to where there was darkness. This year, you have a choice to make. You can become a tree. And you can carry the fruit. And you can carry the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the light of the very presence of Almighty God, where all of a sudden they look in your eyes and they just see joy, they see love, they see everything, the expressions come out of the eyes. Light just shines. Or they can see, I'm serious. Because that's what happened with the Church of Jesus Christ. They got so wrapped up in self, they forgot that they were carrier of the light. Amen. The joy, the peace, the strength. We now get caught up in New Year's, Christmas, everything else that comes along. Hey, let's go. I'm so busy, I got to have this, and I got to do that, and I got to go here. And all of a sudden, when they get all said and done, life ends. You get to stand before Jesus. He looks at you and said, what happened? What happened? You threw all this stuff into the fire. What happened? Nothing came out. It all got burned up. In Isaiah 60, verse 1 and 2, arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will rise upon you and over you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and the Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your son shall come from afar, and your daughter shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. In other words, what this saying is, when the light of Christ, the light of the Holy Spirit, the light of God's truth comes, all of a sudden others will be drawn to you. It doesn't become a work to go out and tell somebody. People come to want to know what you've got. Amen. This year, 2017, the only way it's going to be different is when we become the light that God instructed us to be, so that the darkness can be dispelled. And when the darkness is dispelled, what those people you've been praying for, they've been asking for, the darkness will leave them, the light will shine on them, and they will come to the Lord just like that. It won't be a work of the flesh. It'll be a constant outpouring of glory from your very presence when you walk into the room. They will not like it. They will run. They will scream. They will yell. They will accuse you. They will try to dampen your light to make them more like them. Because that darkness hates the light. And that's what's happening in the world. Prayerfully this year, God is going to make a transformation here. And the light of the church of Jesus Christ, the true church of Jesus, not the make-believe, not those who are out there espousing this and that, but not really living and letting the fruit of the Spirit be there in their lives. The light of the gospel being transforming, not only their inward, but their outward countenance. In Isaiah 61:3, he said, to grant consolation and joy to those who mourn in Zion. To give them an ornament, a garland or diadem, a beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment expressive of praise instead of a heavy burden and failing spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness. Now listen to this. Oaks of righteousness, lofty, strong, and magnificent. Distinguished for uprightness, judgment, justice, and right standing with God, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. We are called oaks of righteousness. And this is what he said. He said, you're going to be lofty, then you're going to stand above. What he said, you're going to be seated in high places. You're going to be seated with Christ in heavenly places. You're going to be lofty. You're going to be strong. You're going to be magnificent. Not with your beauty, not with your glory, but with his. He's going to do this thing. Amen. He's going to do this thing. And when you finally, we all finally say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done, that I may glorify you. In the end, God's going to transform you into an image that you won't even recognize when you look in the mirror. Those things you thought were important become nothing. Those things you were hoping and praying for and believing for, they become nothing. Because the Bible says all of this becomes nothing in the light of him. That's when his light shines and his presence, and all of a sudden you stand up tall and strong, magnificent. You're the oak of righteousness. God had given me something for me this year. And I keep saying it over and over and over. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am. And as I confess it and I believe it and I confess it and I believe it, all of a sudden I just walk a little bit different. Oh, that's just you and your pride and all. No. I'm just declaring what God said. I want to do and be what God said. You can have this world. You can have it. I will put it in a nice box, put a ribbon on it. I'll even send it to your house by messenger. Because in the end of that, there's death and destruction. All those things you thought were going to bring you joy and happiness, it's going to rot in you, and it'll rot on you, and it'll cause you to rot, and it'll end up nothing. But if you will hang your hat on the kingdom of God and follow his ways, he will lead you into such glory that all of this stuff that you thought was important means nothing. nothing to God. Will this earth pass away? No. Will we pass away? No. Will our bodies pass away? Possibly, unless he comes back and the rapture happens and our bodies are taken up and be glorified instantaneously. Praise God. But I'm not leaning on that. I'm not depending on that. And I will but not be discouraged if I go the way of the grave. Because either or, I want to glorify him. Paul said it, whether by life or by death, I'm going to glorify him. Because he is the one who already set my life in order. He took me out of chaos and brought me into an orderly life. I am alive in Christ. And the path he set before me will lead me into his presence. That's what it's all about. And I'm going to be honest with you, truthfully. This year, I think the presence of God is going to be stronger than ever. You sang some songs here. I believe that's all true. But there's going to come a presence. And I'm going to tell you what. The songs aren't going to bring us into the presence. You're going to bring the presence of God in here. And the songs will be lifted up with a heart filled with the presence of God.
Amen.
That's what's going to happen.
Amen.
That's what's going to change. You won't have to be enticed to come here. You'll be led here by the Spirit. There's a difference. There's a difference when you come to church led by the Spirit and come to church because it's Sunday morning. Well, that means I'm sitting home till I'm led by the Spirit. Well, that just means you're not being led by the Spirit sitting home. I don't know what to tell you. How do we know that we're being led by the Spirit and walking in the Spirit? I believe the one way you can check is by Scripture saying, setting your mind on the things above, not the things below. That just means that when you're doing things, whatever it is, I don't care what it is, whether it's walking or whether it's just sitting or whether it's doing work, or Lord, I know there's a better way. I want to be led by the Spirit. Show me how to walk better. Show me how to sit better. Show me how to work better. Go to him on every area of your life, whatever it is. God will reveal himself to you. Well, I didn't change the way I walk. I kept on walking. Yeah, but you're not walking alone now. Something Diane said, you know, when we were up with Diane, sitting in the hospital, said that I was sitting there talking to her, and this was on Monday, I think. She passed away that Saturday. And I was sitting there talking to her, and she looked at me and she says, "Who's that guy in white behind you?" I went, "Nobody back there." "Yeah, there's a guy in white behind you." "No." Diane was up there later on, and Diane said, "Could you turn off that light, that bright light, before you leave?" No light on. See, Diane said something to me, and it hurt her in the natural, and it was in the natural, it was kind of true. She said she was all alone. I said, "No." Matter of fact, God was so good to us, and to obviously Diane, that he showed us that he was there with her. Oh my. Why? Because God knew we'd be hurting. He showed us. God will show you things. He will tell you things. He'll reveal things to you that you never even thought about. All of a sudden you just don't, where did that, I didn't get tree. How did I get tree? How did I get all that from tree? I didn't. I sat there and I was speaking to the Lord. I just quietly meditating on the Lord. I turned on that music. I just quiet sat there and God started downloading it. Do you know how much fun it is to walk with God? Oh my goodness. What a joy. I mean, really, what a joy. No, and this is what always blows me away in this, because I know who I am, I know what I am. But he still loves me. And he hasn't left me. And he will not leave me. To me, that is a proof that he loves me and he is who he is. Because nobody else would stay with me. Diane only stayed because he told her to. You think I'm kidding you? Now, hopefully that grew, changed. But there was a time when she wanted to leave, was planning on leaving, and God said, no, you can't leave. Yeah. The only reason she's still with me is because God told her no. Why? Because God did what he did. He put us together. No man will tear asunder. You can't change those things. Amen. When God is with you, you'd never have to be alone, ever. This is a great year coming up. A great year. I mean, a great year. For those who will be led by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, will allow the Spirit and the light of the Spirit to shine and be there. They'll do things and be things. Well, you know, then I want this. I don't think I got him. As I was doing this, I was reading up on something. I don't have him. Probably a good thing. Because I was ready to read to you some stuff. And it was, I was reading another article about different stuff. It really wasn't with the message here. But at the end of it, were these two responses to this message from two different people. I won't use the language they used. Well, when I was 17, I got saved, and I believed that God was going to do all these wonderful things for me, and he didn't do it, and I'm fed up with him. I don't want anything to do with him no more because of that, da that, da that, da that, da that, da that, and he went on and on and on and on and on and on. And I thought to myself, how sad. How sad. Because in the end of all things, there is nothing but God in him. That's it. You can get saved in your mind and never touch your heart. And when you stand before him, he'll say, I never knew you. Yeah, but I did all these things for you. I did all this. I never knew you. God wants you to know he loves you. He loves you so much he sent his son down here in the form of man to die on the cross, to remove every sin and every stain of sin from your life. He removed the curse that came on the law. And he said, I am going to give you life and give it to you abundantly. God loves you so much, he will move everything out of the way, every evil, wicked thing out of your life just to reach you. Through his son, Jesus Christ. But he only does it when you're willing. When you're willing. He will not force himself into your life. He will not force himself to cause you to do this and to do that. God gives you the opportunity. He wants you to know, I got a plan for your life. It's a good plan. I've already got it made before you were even. I wrote it down in a book, so it's all set. It's not going to change. I'm not going to tell you from day to day. He said, well, excuse me, I want to say it. He's not making it up as he goes along. It's already a set. But he chooses, you choose which path you want to take. You can either take the narrow path that he already laid out for you, or you can take your own way. And you can say, well, I'm not sure which way that is. Yes, you do. You know. If you got the Spirit of God in you, you know. You really do. This world has a lot to offer. But it charges you one thing, your life. God gave you life and promised you heaven. This is the day the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning. We give you praise and glory and honor, and we thank you, Father God, that you have created in us the opportunity to know you, to walk with you, to be in your presence, even here on earth, as it is in heaven. We thank you, Lord God, that we want to be those oaks of righteousness, Father, standing strong, standing against all the winds of adversity, not being moved, Father God, by what we see or what we feel or what we think. That we're not caught up in this world, Father, but we're caught up in the heaven. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' precious name to walk in that glorious presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Do you have some announcements?